This is September 12th chapel service with Dr. Tom Bland presiding. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The hymn is number 365, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end.
Thank you, and be seated. Hear again this morning the words of the psalmist in the 145th Psalm. I will extol thee, my God and sovereign, and bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee and praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. The Lord's greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty and on thy wondrous works I will meditate. All persons shall proclaim the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of thy abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of thy righteousness.
The word of the Lord from Colossians chapter 2. We'll read verses 6 through 15. Colossians chapter 2, 6 through 15. I read from the King James Version. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11. in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of his words. Amen.
The gospel lesson is found in the sixth chapter of Luke, verses 12 through 19. In these days, Jesus went out into the hills to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was also called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. God bless the reading of Psalm, Epistle, and Gospel. God speaks to us in the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us now speak with God in prayer. O eternal God, who has not left yourself without a witness in any generation, thanks be unto you this day for the witness of your word. You who made known your ways to Moses and your mighty acts among the children of Israel, who has spoken through lawgiver and prophet and apostle, thanks be unto you that you have spoken to us in this day through Christ our Lord, the living Word of God. And as in this service of worship, we seek to bring together the written word and the living word through the spoken word, may your divine spirit be our teacher, our convictor, our converter, our consecrator, as we all pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Quite enough love for one like me. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for one like me. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to change. And in this very room, there's quite enough love for all of us. And in this very room, there's quite enough joy for all of us. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus is in this very room.
It is at least a happy coincidence and at most a providential happening that the lectionary reading for the Christian year for this day, the 12th day of September, the second day of our regular chapel services in this new school year, deals with the choosing of the 12, those 12 who were so special in Jesus' life, those 12 who were chosen from among a much larger group of women and men who served Jesus and who continued to work and to walk with him. For this event has significance not only in the long ago and the far away, but for us today. Those whom Jesus called, he also commissioned. Those whom Jesus chose were called to be with him, to be in fellowship with him and with one another, and a fellowship in which they were to learn, eventually to go forth to preach, to declare the good news of God's mighty act, and to cast out demons. Mark tells us that they were called, they were commissioned, and they were sent forth. That's why we are here in this theological seminary. We are here because we have responded to God's upward call in Jesus Christ. We are called to salvation, and that's the greatest of all calls. In addition, we are here because of an inner persuasion, a secret call, what Peter Marshall once called a tap on the shoulder. While here, we are called to learn and to become lifelong learners in the school of Christ, In time, we are commissioned and sent forth to do what those early 12 did, to preach, to teach, to exorcise those demons that beset the human spirit, and to nurture persons in the Christian way. Now we, like those, are a very diverse lot. Just last week, for example, in my large class in Christian ethics, in which I have 85 students, I did a little survey, and I found that these 85 students had studied in 59 different colleges, universities, and other institutions of higher learning prior to their coming to this institution. It is obvious that we are different. We have abilities that differ, personalities that are distinctive. Indeed, the very genotyping process is another mark of the way in which the divine wisdom is seen in the act of creation. For no two of us are alike, and that's a part of the mystery and the marvel of the procreative enterprise with which humankind cooperate with the great Creator himself. We are also at many different places in our spiritual journeys. Sometimes we may wonder about ourselves or about another. Why am I here? Why has the Lord called me? Why did God call that woman, that man, so different from me? Of course, the ultimate answers to these questions are known only to God, and we need to remember that. The distinctiveness of those called, commissioned, and sent forth may be compared to the distinctiveness of the players and the instruments used in a symphony orchestra. God is performing through us and those like us and unlike us the great symphony of redemption. And God chooses whom God will and works through those gifts and those persons to effect God's purposes. Why are such ordinary people called? Now, at this point, let's be critical of ourselves and charitable of others. The list of the 12 that Jesus chose was a who's who of nobodies. Young, untried, they were indeed a motley crew. Will you hear a letter of evaluation of these 12? Which might have been written to Jesus by an agency that specializes in evaluating personnel. Here it is. Dear sir, we have completed our interviews and all our psychological testing of the 12 persons you are considering as your elite core of students and as those you desire to help you to achieve the goals and objectives of your new organization. We give herewith our evaluation. Simon, who says you call him Rock, is given to mood swings. He has a fiery temper, and he can't be trusted to remain steady in a stressful situation. Matthew and Simon the Zealot are almost certain to bring conflict into your organization because of their diametrically opposing theological and political loyalty. Tax collectors and zealots are poor risks as players on the same team. Andrew will never be more than second rate. He gave up long ago in sibling rivalry with his brother Rock. James and John are too attached to their mother, who will likely be a shadow person in your organization. They've never broken the apron strings, and their mother is very ambitious for her sons and will not hesitate, in our opinion, to seek special privileges from you for them. Our tests also show that James and John are prone to throw temper tantrums. We think the remainder of the group, with one exception, will never distinguish themselves as leaders nor contribute much to the success of your program. Judas Iscariot is a notable exception. one who is likely to be very successful in your organization. Judas possesses clear personal and professional goals, good skills of organization, mobilization, and networking with other groups. He is careful with money and very assertive. We are more confident of Judas Iscariot as an effective team member than we are of any of the 12. Cordially yours, the Jerusalem Personnel Services Incorporated. Jesus Christ specializes in taking the unlikely and doing through the unlikely the unusual. It was said of Jesus that he will not break a bruised reed or quench a smoldering wick. In this school, we seek community, community of faith and community of learning. Now, a true community must have a center. Where shall we all find a true center? Where the first 12 found it? In him. In Jesus Christ. In this school, it is a part of the modus operandi et vivendi that we have to give ourselves to many duties. There are books to be read. There are papers to be written. There are subjects to be mastered. We must expose our minds to many ideas. But we will not find our unity in any or in all of these. There comes a time when each of us in this place may need to say, hushed be the noise and strife of the schools, volume and pamphlet, sermon and speech, the lips of the wise and the prattle of fools. Let the Son of Man teach. In time, the last lecture will have been given, the last test will have been taken, the last paper graded and returned, the final credits earned, the diplomas awarded. But now, this very day, and whatever remaining time we have, are ours to use in fellowship with Christ. To find in Christ our unity, to celebrate in Christ our diversity, to learn from him, to be empowered by him, to prepare to be sent forth to minister to his people in his name. There was a man who once lived and labored in this place in an earlier time, Dr. William Louis Poteet, longtime president of Wake Forest College, which occupied this space for 122 years before this school came along. Dr. Poteet was a botanist, a great scientist, to whom we owe the beauty and the variety of the magnolia trees which grace this campus. Dr. Poteet was also a devout Christian. And in the 1920s, he struggled in the earlier battles between religious fundamentalism, intellectual honesty, and scientific method. In 1925, he was invited to give the John Calvin McNair lectures at the University of North Carolina, and he chose for the title, and they've been published in a volume bearing the title, Can a Man Be a Christian Today? With careful reasoning and profound learning, Dr. Poteet gave and gives his own personal yes. Yes, one can be a Christian, and one can do that and keep personal and intellectual integrity. The way? Let me quote from Dr. Poteet. As he comes near the end of that series of lectures, he says, so must we press through to him, that is to Jesus the Christ, past 1,000 professional interpreters, past the loaded shelves of books that have discoursed about him, back to his original unamended word. And if someone intervene and protest, who are you to ignore the succession of the rabbis and set aside the ancient formula? Answer the following. Only a lover of the truth, bent upon lighting my taper at the master light, only a limping follower trying to keep in sight of him, only a happy slave responsible to his master alone and not to another. Let us stand. Send us forth, Lord God, to find the true center and to live in that center, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Energize us further for the work of this day, and may the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us in our going out as in our coming in, from this day forth, forevermore. Amen.